And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett. I wanted to give you an update on Tex's health. He is home and resting. His strength is returning slowly, so your continued prayers for his full recovery are greatly appreciated. We here at Power of Prophecy pray that you will agree that this repeated message from Tex is a timeless classic for yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to talk about something that is so vital, so important, and so life-giving that I can scarcely believe it. You know, the Old and New Testament has so much to say about the temple of God. But did you know that there is a temple of the devil? And the devil's people have plans to construct this temple right here on this planet? The temple. And it has two key forms. They're actually going to be a temple built by the Jews, by the Freemasons, with the help, no doubt, of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and other false so-called Christian cults. They will build the so-called Temple of God on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people of Satan himself constitute a living temple. They are like stones, you might say, polished into fine vessels of hell, and all belonging to Satan. Have I got you confused? Well, don't be, because listen to me, my friends. Jesus Christ himself is a temple. He is a temple, the temple of God. And all who know Jesus Christ are part of, get this, his body. The book of Revelation says if you know Jesus as Lord, if he knows you, more importantly, then he has adopted you, made you his child. He is Abba, the Father, and you are a living stone. He is the temple. He's the cornerstone. He's the head of the body. And each of us, the Bible says, is perfectly fitted and framed within the temple structure. We are the temple of God. So there's a satanic temple made up of all of Satan's people, including his angels, I might add. But human beings are part of Satan's temple. So the temple is more than just a building made of stone or plaster, of glass, of mosaic tile, with an altar, with sacrifices and all these things. No, a temple is made up of the hearts of living men and women. And you can either be part of the temple of God or the temple of Satan. And so today I want to talk to you about mysteries of the temple. And oh, what mysteries there are. And this has to do with everything going on in the world today. The New World Order, the elite, the Rothschilds, the secret societies, the Jewish Talmud and Kabbalah, their false religion, the wars going on in the Middle East, the world war to come, Armageddon, everything is wrapped around this temple, the temple. And you yourself are part of a temple. You're a living stone, a stone dedicated to hell or to God. You choose. But the interesting thing is, at the moment you choose, you find out that God actually chose you. I've always loved that. Which comes first? God chooses you or you choose him? God is not a God of temporal time, but of eternity. And everything has already happened, is happening, and is going to happen. But we look at time as something that occurs 60 seconds, 60 minutes, 24 hours, 365 days, but that's only in this galaxy. On this planet, there are trillions, megatrillions of planets, and time may have a totally different significance and meaning and calculation and method and measure on those distant planets and stars. God is not limited by your and my puny conception of time. Even the greatest physicists in the world have no understanding. That's why Einstein came out with his theory of relativity, saying time is relative. You don't know what time is, nor did Einstein. But God is beyond time and place. Now, the mysteries of the temple are so important. I was in Washington, D.C., and I visited a place called the House of the Temple, exactly 13 blocks from the White House. It's the international headquarters and sanctuary of Scottish Rite Freemasons, the largest satanic Masonic rite in the world. Millions of men, and perhaps a few women as well, secretly as co-Masons, and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of women as the women of the Eastern Star, are affiliated with this House of the Temple. I noticed its Egyptian statues, the Sphinx and so forth, in the front, the huge steps. It is literally created by the architect, a Mr. Pope. It was created as a tomb. In fact, King Mazos of ancient Greece and Turkey, King Mazos, the very name Mausoleum came from him. King Mazos, Mausoleum. And the tomb, the sepulcher of King Mazos, the ancient king of Greece and Turkey, that is in ruins today, was recreated exactly by the architect, Mr. Pope. And so the House of the Temple, now get that, the House of the Temple, because in God's terminology, according to the Bible, a house is a collection of people unified for certain goals or purposes. Jesus, in Matthew 23 and 24, talked about the house of Israel, meaning the people and nation of Israel, united for a common purpose. The United States, then, would be a house. You can collect a lot of things, I suppose. I don't play cards, but understand some people use the term full house, collection of things that are alike, that have a purpose or goal in the game called playing cards. I have no idea of the goal because I never play those things, never have, except when I was a little kid. They tried to teach me. I guess I just wasn't interested in such things. Now, I want you to understand that this House of the Temple, I saw right away. Did you know that there are two men's bodies buried in the walls? That's right. Albert Pike, the former Sovereign Grand Commander, who wrote the classic textbook, Morals and Dogma, of the ancient and accepted rite of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, he's buried within the walls. He has his tomb. It is indeed a tomb. And in fact, the Old Testament talks about the congregation of the dead. There's a house for you, a congregation, all united for a common purpose. And I thought about it. This is the house of the dead. But all Freemasons are dead. Dead to the truth. Dead in terms of life. Eternal life. No. They cannot receive eternal life lest their master be Jesus. But they already have their grandmaster. Really, he's Satan. Their worshipful master, as they call him. They're potentates in the shriners and so forth. But there were many mysteries in that temple I noticed right away, including the serpents on the walls. Everywhere serpents. Even on the roof there were serpents at the four corners. They have dedicated their lives to the serpent, known as the dragon, Satan in the book of Revelation. You know, I have a good friend, used to be a manager, director of Channel 66, the only Christian television station in Washington, D.C. It was bought up by a Jew and turned in part of the Home Shopping Network. It used to be a Christian television station. They bought it and converted it to the Home Shopping Network. Well, in any case, he was manager at the time, and he said, Tex, I visited Israel, and I came to something very interesting. He said, I went to visit down Zedekiah's cave, had a tour guide take me down there, and I looked down in a passageway as we were descending down deep into the cave under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And he said, there was a door, but it was locked, a huge door, and it had a bronze plaque on it. And it said, this is the Freemasons' Hall. Oh, yes, there is a Grand Lodge of Jerusalem, and it meets periodically under the Temple Mountain in Jerusalem, down Zedekiah's cave. And there's even a plaque on the door. And through various ways, I was able to obtain a picture of the inside of it. That's right. I even have a video called Masonic Lodge over Jerusalem. And there's pictures of it there, of that very door. The guide sort of tried to rush my friend a little bit. We can't go in there anyway. Let's keep going on the tour. No, don't get separated. Don't go down there. I don't think my friend really wanted to go down there very much anyway, but he noticed it was there and he took pictures of it, which I guess was not acceptable, but he did it anyway and snuck about. Yes, the Masons meet deep under the earth where their master is, Satan, in the darkness, in the deep, under the Temple Mount where the temple once stood, the Temple of Solomon, the Temple of Herod. And now the Jews want to build another temple, a third temple. I call it the Temple of Hell. And yet millions of Zionist Judaizer Christians are sending money to Temple Mountain, or Mount, as they call it, organizations to rebuild the temple. And a Christian sister called us. She wanted to know what I thought about her church and her pastor who were taking up offerings to send to these Israeli Jewish groups to help them rebuild the temple. Well, all you have to know what I think about that, go to 2 Thessalonians 2. It says in the last days, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be a temple. And the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, that's what they call him in the Bible there. The Apostle Paul prophesied that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, would actually enter this temple of God, so-called. That's what the Jews call it, even though we'll find out more about that in a moment. It wasn't of God at all. It was just a name they gave it. Should have been of God. Should have been a house of God, but it wasn't. They had all their idols and all their money changers and all that in there. Now, listen to me. The most important thing is the Apostle Paul said he will go there, the Antichrist, 666, and declare that he is God and above all gods. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you want to give some money to the devil's cause to help him rebuild a temple so his Antichrist can come in there and declare he's God, then go join a Baptist or a Pentecostal church. Go join John Hagee's Cornerstone Church. Send money to TBN. They believe in all that stuff. Help the devil. Build him a temple for his man of sin, the son of perdition. Now, this Christian sister told her pastor, well, by doing so, we're helping to speed prophecy along. Indeed. The more you help the devil, the more you the Apostle Paul said in the last days, things will wax, that means to grow, worse and worse until the end comes. So if you want to help prophecy be fulfilled, just you become a worse and worse person and help the world become worse and worse. You're helping fulfill prophecy. Now that's smart. Go out and kill, rape, plunder. Make the world a worse place. You're helping prophecy. Helping the devil. Make Jesus come quicker, won't it? Oh, yeah. Build the temple of Satan in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And, yeah, that'll bring Armageddon one step closer. How foolish is that? How foolish can you get? Why not encourage Obama to drop nuclear bombs on the whole world so we can have an Armageddon quicker? Yeah, it'll kill 2 or 3 billion people, but so what? Jesus will come quicker. Friends, God didn't put us here to build a house for the devil in Jerusalem or anywhere.
goodness gracious.
Now, it's interesting that the Jews are working very close with the Mormons. The Mormons. And, of course, I've read all about the Mormons. Did you know the Mormons are very close to the Jews? They even believe they're the real Jews spiritually. They're two tribes of the Jews. Interesting. Of the 12 tribes, the Mormons claim to be two. And they say that not only in the Mormon faith is taught Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon faith, who was a very loyal Freemason until they threw him out because he had changed his Freemasonry. He had actually taken Freemasonry that he had learned all the rituals and started a church using it called the Mormon or Latter-day Saints Church. Everything he learned in Freemasonry, he put into the church. And then he took the polygamy and all that. You have wives. But what they really liked, all the Mormons, was I can have as many wives as I want to in heaven. Plus, I'll be my own god of my own planet. It's not really heaven they're going to. They're going to go to their own planet where they'll be the god. And they can have thousands of wives. Hey, you Muslims out there, you're wasting your time. What do you get, 71 virgins or something like that in heaven, according to Allah and Muhammad? That's peanuts, friends. Become a Mormon. You can have thousands. You can have your own harem. Thousands of concubines and virgin wives. Well, they don't have to stay virgins. That's up to you as god of your own planet. Oh, man. My good friend Ed Decker up in Seattle, Washington, wrote a book entitled The God Makers. Yeah, the Mormons make gods of you. You become god of your own planet with all the women you want. Man, go after it. Of course, that's what you think will happen to you. It is appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. It says in Hebrews, you wake up. I don't think you're going to be on your god of your own planet. You're going to be toiling down in a certain place called Hades or hell. Ain't no women down there going to love you, friends. Well, okay. Interestingly enough, the Mormons teach, this is official Mormon doctrine, they teach that at Independence, Missouri, in the United States of America, they will eventually build a great temple to God. While at the same time, the Jews will build their own temple to God in Jerusalem. Two temples. That's the Mormon view. What the Jews can do, they can do better. Did you know the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? That's the Reorganized Mormons. That was founded by Joseph Smith's successors, Brigham Young and all those others. You know, they ran off to Utah. But the Smith clan that had founded the church in the first place kept on going, and their headquarters is now in Independence, Missouri, right outside of Kansas City. And I visited their temple they built there. They built a new temple. I have a picture of it in my book, Mysterious Monuments. It looks like some Babylonian temple, and rightly so. Rightly so. Now, in Salt Lake City, they have their tabernacle. It's sort of temporary. Until the official Mormon church, that's the one that has 15 million members worldwide, until they can build their great temple to God in Independence, Missouri. By the way, they now have sort of puny little miniature temples around the world in the Mormon religion. They're like a foretaste of what is to come. And there, the main function of those temples is not to preach, not to do any sacrament other than baptism of the dead. They baptize the dead. They too, like the Mormons, the Masons are the congregation of the dead. You'll spend your time, if you become a Mormon, working genealogy, trying to find all of your dead relatives throughout the centuries so you can bring their name to the temple or your local congregation of the dead and baptize them all by proxy. People stay busy just baptizing the dead, one after another. Understand, according to news reports, Adolf Hitler's been baptized about 48 times so far. Well, you can't go be god of your own planet until you're baptized. Even after you're dead, you got to have the living to baptize you. How about that? Defies John 3:3. Jesus said you must be born again in spirit and in truth. And as I said, Hebrews 9 says it's appointed for a man once to die, afterward the judgment. Forget about a chance for baptism. After you're dead, you're gone, my friends. You go up or you go down or wherever God has hell. Heaven, well, there is a heaven. Now, this temple is so important that did you know that the Freemasons in all of their literature say that the whole purpose of Freemasonry is to teach men to become temples, living temples. I have a book by John J. Robinson. He became a 33rd degree Mason right before his death. He was so impressed with the order of Masonry. He wrote a book called Born in Blood, The Lost Secret History of Freemasonry. Oh, this was a book celebrated throughout the Masonic world. It was published in the late 1980s. And Robinson, of course, he's gone on for his reward, and you can imagine what that is now. He's dead. But his book lives on in infamy. And you'll enjoy chapter 25, The Unbuilt Temple of Solomon. Of course, Solomon had a temple. And there he was so evil, even though he was a very wise man, the women sort of turned his eye. Women have turned a lot of men's eyes, haven't they, over the centuries? And they turned his eye, and he married all these foreign women, and they got him into all these goddess and, you know, false religions. And so he brought in all the Asherah, all the Babylonian junk, all the Phoenician false gods and goddesses and their idols into the what was the temple of God, or supposed to have been. The scriptures say that so evil did Solomon become in his old age with all these women and the false religion of the temple that he became so jaded and evil that he required, as king, he required of the high priest of the temple that they give him a tribute as king. Gold. Gold. Annually, he was given a tribute. Now get this, friends. This is in, read Kings 1 and Kings 2 in the Bible. He was given a tribute of 666 talents of gold. 666. The high priests of the temple were required to take up offerings or whatever, get the money, get gold, and give it to King Solomon. Well, you know, costs quite a bit to keep up, you know, hundreds and hundreds of wives and concubines. He needed money. And sort of ancient days, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods only had 12 or 13. This guy had hundreds. Well, okay. We go to John Robinson's book. Chapter 25, the final chapter, the unbuilt temple. He says the temple of Solomon needs to be rebuilt again. You see, the Masons, like John J. Robinson in his book Born in Blood, they say in the heart of every Mason, we're building the temple. Oh, yes. They're building the temple in every heart of the Mason. Robinson says, but we also need a physical symbol. You see, in Freemasonry, every religion is honored. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, all of them can come together. Of course, there's witchcraft, Satanism, every kind of religion known in the world is all welcome at the altar of Freemasonry. It brings everybody together as one. It's the perfect religion for the New World Order. And Robinson said, what we Masons must do is, yes, build or rebuild the Temple of Solomon on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But get this, it can be built, he said, like a hub with a wheel. And, you know, the little tracks go out, you know, like a bicycle wheel. There's the hub, but on the outskirts you have, you know, like the satellites or auxiliaries. In the middle, he says, will be the great temple of all religions, built and operated by Freemasons. The great religion that accepts all other religions into its fold. But then he said there's no reason why the Muslims can't have their own temple on the mountain there to branch out from the hub, Freemasonry. And then the Christians can have their own temple or sanctuary. And then the Jews can rebuild a temple. So they'll all be there on the Temple Mount. That's sort of interesting. In the book of Revelation, verse 13, it talks about mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the world. It says that this horrible woman, who's a very spiritual woman, believe me, this harlot, this whore, she sits on seven mountains. Now, many Christians have interpreted that as seven hills. They like to think of it as Rome. I always thought that was interesting that Rome does sit on seven hills. Did you know that there's another city that has seven hills or seven mountain ranges? Ah, yes. The geographers say Jerusalem has seven too. The whore sits on the seven mountains. Actually, I believe that's the seven continents of earth. And isn't it fascinating that at the time John was inspired to write the book of Revelation by Holy Spirit, that geographers, scientists did not know there were seven continents on this planet. That shows the science of the Bible. Now, if you want to say, well, that really means seven hills rather than seven mountains, that's okay. Because Jerusalem qualifies, as does Rome. And the interesting thing is the Vatican has long sought to take over Jerusalem. For centuries, the Pope sent all the Crusaders and the Knights Templar. Get the name? Knights Templar. You know what that means? The soldiers of the temple. The army of the temple. The Knights Templar. The Knights of the Temple. He wanted to have the temple in Jerusalem. Rebuild the temple. Isn't that fascinating? The Vatican that sits at Vatican City in Rome, called the Eternal City, the City of Seven Hills, wanted to take over. And, you know, every pope, it seems like, throughout history has always wanted to have the Vatican moved to Jerusalem. Wow. Isn't that fascinating? The Vatican lust for Jerusalem. The Mormons lust for Jerusalem. The Baha'i, a world religion, lust for Jerusalem. The Jews, the Muslims. The Muslims have built the Mosque of Omar, Al-Aqsa, the golden domed structure. They say that is the site where Muhammad literally ascended to heaven bodily. He never died like you and me. He just ascended to heaven. Right there on that spot. And they want to keep their mosque there. Now, the Jews would like to destroy that golden dome mosque, the Al-Aqsa, and they would like them to build their great temple again. And all these Temple Mount organizations run by the Jews are, they've already got the vestments, and they've got this, and they're looking for the red heifer cow so they can, the perfect red cow so that they can, you know, sacrifice him to their God. Not our God, their God, the devil. They're already sacrificing chickens and sprinkling the blood around at Yom Kippur, their most holy day. When we come back in a minute, we're going to talk about more mysteries of the temple. Fascinating. I'll talk to you about the Armageddon script. A high-level Freemason occultist says that they're going to fake, they're going to stage the coming of the Messiah and then rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They're all seduced by that temple. It's in their blood. It's in their heart. It's in Satan's mind, too. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. I hope you have obtained a copy of, or more than one copy even, of my new book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. You know, I'll tell you, this book is a fantastic book. And this is just something that God gave to me. You know, I really didn't want to believe it. I didn't believe it. How could a major religion that's known all over the world keep a secret? What is that secret? That the Jews worship the serpent, Satan, Lucifer, the great dragon of the book of Revelation. They worship the serpent. They believe the serpent is their redeemer, their friend, their companion, their Messiah, their God. Who could believe that? Well, we know the ancient mystery religions did, but this is the year 2016. I mean, surely that cannot be, but it is. And so I felt it necessary to write an entire book in which I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. You see, because I'm a Christian, and if I just wrote about the Judaic religion and told you that they worship the snake, the holy snake, you'd laugh at me, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Of course you would. And I would deserve laughter. But wait, I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. The most famous of the rabbis, going all the way back to the Middle Ages, and they've kept this great secret. They pray to, they worship, they believe in the holy serpent. Now, there's much more. There's much more than that in this book. And I pray that you will get it. I hope you'll get a copy for your friends. I hope you'll give your pastor a copy and say, did you know, Pastor, that the Jews in their synagogues today pray to and worship the serpent? He'll say, oh, no, they believe in God. Yes, they do. And their God is the devil. Who said so? Tex Mars? No. No less an authority than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he told the Jews, your father is the devil. Wow. I think when Jesus says something, friends, it makes all the difference. But he's backed up the rabbis. They all agree with him. It's the only thing that I found, I think, that rabbis agree with Jesus on, that they worship the serpent. Because Jesus said, they are serpents. They're vipers. He wasn't just using hyperbole. He wasn't being harsh. He wasn't making it up. He was sincere. Now, the Apostle Paul said that they are into witchcraft, and other disciples. John the Baptist, of course, mentioned that they were vipers, serpents. So it's true, isn't it? So get this book. As far as I know, there's never been a book like this. But even if there hasn't been a book like this one before, The Holy Serpent of the Jews by Tex Mars, even if there's never been a book like this before, Jesus said it. He's the proof you need. Find out why he said it. Now, this book is $20 at $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. And just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. It's right there at the top. You'll see a description of the book. You can order it from our website online. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. And ask the friendly receptionist for a copy of the book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Of course, we have many other books and such. You might even want to ask for a catalog from us, and we'll be glad to send you a catalog. Holy Serpent of the Jews, $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Write to us, too, would you? Maybe, if you feel led by God, to give us a donation, a love gift, or an offering, a tithe, whatever word you want to call it, please send that also. Whether it's $5 or $10, we will put it to good use. I promise you that. We will put it to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong there, friends. So, again, our phone number is 1-800-234-9673. Our address, if you write to us, is Tex Mars or Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. By the way, I do need to tell people about the Employees Love Gift Fund. Every year we have a campaign. We ask you if you would give. Now, all the money that comes in, it's not a great amount, but it's an amount of money, and we divide it up between the employees. Now, our employees here, they don't have medical coverage. They don't have all these free benefits. So this sort of helps a little bit. If you can give to our employees, give to the Employees Fund. Just write a check or a money order or send cash. Send it, of course, to Power of Prophecy. But send a separate note and say, this is for the Employees Fund. For the Employees Fund. Now, when you do that, we will make sure that every cent goes direct to the employees. Now, I don't touch it. Wanda doesn't touch it. And it's kept in the bank, of course. But then we get it out and we divide it. And everybody gets the same amount, whether they're the janitor or the, like Jerry here, the radio producer, or Michelle, our office manager. Everybody gets the same amount, the Employees Fund. If you want to give to that, please do. Now, you can give to the ministry at the same time, but tell us how much you want to designate for the ministry and how much for the Employees Fund. And we would appreciate it so much. We have that campaign every year about this time, and we thank you so much. Now let's return to my program we're talking about today, Mysteries of the Temple. We're talking about the temple of God, but there's also a temple of Satan. Some years ago, I had a gentleman visit me from South Africa. He very much knew about the global conspiracy. And he said to me, have you ever visited the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem? And I said, well, I did not know there was even such a thing. Now, this was, oh, I guess it was about 15 years ago. He said, oh, Brother Mars, you need to study the Rockefeller Museum. I said, Rockefeller? What's Rockefeller? John D. Rockefeller and David Rockefeller, what are they doing in Jerusalem building a museum? He said, oh, you'll be surprised. You'll be shocked. Well, I did study the Rockefeller Museum. I investigated it. I was fascinated with it. And I want to tell you what I found out. That the so-called American philanthropist who founded the company we call ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron, and all the others now, but back then it was called Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller, the junior, spent $2 million, which was a huge sum back in 1930, and they laid the Masonic cornerstone of a new museum in 1930 in Israel. By the way, there were probably only a few 10,000s of Jews living in Israel at the time. But Rothschild had already decided that there would be a new nation founded in Israel. Rockefeller knew this too, and so he built this museum, $2 million he spent, which was a huge sum, and he built a museum. Officially, it was called the Palestine Archaeological Museum, but everybody from the outset called it the Rockefeller Museum, and they still do. I have pictures of the main display. What do you think would be the number one thing people go to see at the Rockefeller Museum in Jerusalem? It's a tabletop recreation, miniature-sized, of the coming future Jerusalem. And guess what? Sitting on top of the Temple Mount, there were the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Mosque of Omar, the dome thing. Guess what's sitting there? That's right. The new temple. The rebuilt Temple of Solomon. I guess for you people who love Herod so much, it'd be the Temple of Herod rebuilt. They have it all recreated. Look there. I mean, it's right there. All around, and they have it, you know, nice rope all the way around it. You look, you can take off. I've got pictures of the thing on display. The new and future city of Jerusalem recreated. This is the centerpiece of the Rockefeller Museum. By the way, they also have some of the Dead Sea Scrolls and other things there. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. A Rockefeller Museum. You see, a Rockefeller and Rothschild are just like two clones, two peas out of the same pod, so to speak. Today, the museum is managed by the Israel Museum and the Israeli Department of Antiquities and Museums. I think it's just called the Israeli Antiquities Authority. Actually, they're the same people that have the Shrine of the Book, the museum where the Dead Sea Scrolls are kept, by the way. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, friends, go to the book called Memoirs by David Rockefeller, published in 2002. He talks about this and other things as well. By the way, the main feature of this museum is sort of built architecturally, both with Eastern and Western features. Of course, it's a bringing together of East and West. It's located, by the way, if you go to Jerusalem, it's located in an area called Kerem el-Sheikh, a hill located just outside the northeastern corner of the old city walls. The gentleman who visited from South Africa said he was there, and he said as you're standing out in the courtyard, you can look down on the city, and you can see the exact spot where the new temple is going to be built. And, of course, as I said, Christians are sending all the money necessary, millions of dollars annually, to all these Jewish organizations so they can build their new house for Satan's man, the Antichrist. The main feature of this museum, the Rockefeller Museum, is a hexagon-shaped tower, six-sided. Well, of course, the Jewish Star of David, Satan's star, is built as a hexagram or hexagon shape. I was recently reading in the London Daily Mail newspaper. They just call it the Mail. It seems that and I think this has some applicability here. It seems that the planet called Saturn, that if I'm not mistaken, is like the sixth planet from the sun. I believe that's right. Saturn, you see, in the old ancient mystery religions, is the secret name of Satan. Satan or Saturn. According to NASA, their Cassini spacecraft with its cameras have captured stunning images of an intriguing hexagon shape that now crowns Saturn. The planet Saturn actually has a hexagon crown, and it's lit up. The planet Saturn, named after Satan himself, the mysterious name of the ancient god of the mystery religions, it seems has a 30-year-long winter. It's cold there a long, long time. And evidently, their 30-year winter is ending. I wonder if the multi-year cold winter for planet Earth is only beginning. They say we're fixing to go into a time of cold. Forget about global warming. It's going to be global cooling. But things are going to get hot. The book of Revelation says the sun is even going to scorch people. So I wonder when that's going to occur. But that's another story. But here we have detailed pictures now. These are in all the newspapers of this ringed planet, Saturn. It's a ringed planet, too. The article here I'm reading, December 11th in the London Mail, says scientists have waited nearly 30 years for the sun to illuminate, carefully chosen words there, the ringed planet's north pole, which heralds the arrival of spring on Saturn. Oh, it's a time of spring and happiness for Satan's Saturn. In the Masonic religion, they teach the higher level initiates that, yes, Saturn is the name of their god, but his secret name is also Sirius. He is known as the star Sirius. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts talks about the fact that in the desert, the Israelites who left Egypt became apostate and evil and began to practice sexual orgies and to worship the golden calf. And they also worshiped, he said, the star of their god. The star. In the medieval times, the Jews, the rabbis, with their studies of the Kabbalah and their bringing forth of the Talmud, their horrible satanic holy book of their religion, Judaism, they also began to worship the star. And they came up with a symbol for their star god, Lucifer, or the sun god of the ancients from Egypt, and that symbol is the six-pointed star. When Rothschild helped to create the nation of Israel, the fledgling nation in 1948, he said, your flag shall have as its symbol the star of our God, the six-pointed star. And now Saturn has this mysterious hexagon. And all the witches know of the hexagon or the hexagram that they use to place curses. It is an accursed symbol. And the Rockefeller Museum was built with this hexagon shape to it. Now, we go to the third temple. In Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia online, there's as much as 13 pages I have here talking about the third temple. It says, since the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, that's when Roman general Titus came in, destroyed the temple. By the way, Jesus prophesied that. Not one stone will be left on top of another, Jesus said. The temple will, of Jerusalem, of Herod, will be destroyed. Destroyed. 70 AD, it was destroyed by Titus. So pleased were the Romans that they made Titus later on emperor or Caesar. Then he was just a lowly general when he came in and destroyed and murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews and took them captive throughout the Roman Empire. And only 1948 did it become a nation again. But it's very interesting, and I want you to know about this building of the temple. The Jews have always sought to build the temple, to rebuild it. A third temple on the Temple Mount. And it says here in their encyclopedia, or the encyclopedia, about the third temple, says they have a daily prayer. It's a formal part of a traditional thrice, that's three times daily, Jewish prayer services. And they pray that their God, which I think is Satan, they may call him Yahweh or Jehovah, but it's Satan, they pray that their temple will be built again. And they plan on doing it. And let me tell you, friends, if they have to destroy with atomic bombs or secret bombs, just like they did the World Trade Center towers, the Israeli Mossad was into that, and that they're going to blow up the Islamic dome there too, believe me. It says the prophets said that this will be rebuilt, and it will be. They have ancient Jewish floor plans for the temple, it says here. Wow. And it says that Orthodox Judaism particularly is fervent in the plans for rebuilding the third temple. Or it could be the fourth temple, Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, Herod's temple, and now a fourth one. It all depends on how you look at it. See, some of the Jews say, well, Herod's temple doesn't count. It's a strange thing. But they love Solomon's temple. The Masons and the Jews always hearken back to Solomon's temple. Why? Well, we've already talked about Solomon. Read what he did in his old age, and then you'll know. He became an enemy of God in his old age because he defied God. It says, every Orthodox Jewish prayer service contains prayers for the temple's restoration and for the resumption of sacrifices. They want a sacrifice. Now, the Bible says Jesus is the one sacrifice for all time. But the Jews hate the name of Jesus. They call him a bastard in their Talmud. They believe he's burning in excrement, boiling excrement in hell now because he's a blasphemer. And so they were looking for their Messiah to come. They want to rebuild their great temple in Jerusalem. And then their Messiah may come. And then we get to a man named Pierre Le Machurier, a Frenchman, a well-known French pyramidist and occultist, but highly respected in Paris, France. He's written a book. I have a copy of it here. It's called The Armageddon Script. He says, for we who believe in the coming New Age world, we must bring Christians and Jews and Muslims into our fold. Ah, yes. And therefore, basically, La Machurie says we must deceive them. And if we do, we're doing it for their own good, and they'll fall for it. How do we deceive the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims? Well, we Masons and pyramid occultists and others of the New Age, we must stage the coming of a Messiah. There must first be an earthquake in Jerusalem. That's prophesied to come in the New Testament. And with that earthquake, we will have our new King David ready. And we'll put him on a donkey and take him up the street, up to where the Temple Mount is. And then he will declare himself God. And we will stage the whole thing and we will show it like it's a extravaganza, a spectacular movie. We'll show it on worldwide television. We'll say, see, he has come. All eyes see him, King David. The new Messiah is there. And the Jews will say, worship him, the new David. And the Muslims will say, yes, yes, Christ has come. Because they believe in the coming of Christ too. But it's a different Christ, a different Jesus. And the Christians will say, yes, he has come. Because they don't understand that the Bible doesn't say that Christ will come riding a donkey again. He will not parade up the streets. He will not declare he is God. The Bible has a whole different scenario Just read the Old Testament, the New Testament, and you will see. But this will deceive so many who have bought into Zionism, have become Judaizers, and want to rebuild the temple, and are even sending money to the Jews to rebuild the temple of the devil. And the devil's man will come, and he'll say, I'm the new David, in the flesh. See, Jesus is not in the flesh in heaven. How can he be? Because the Bible says God is spirit. And if you're going to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And this Jesus to come, this Messiah for the Jews, will say, help me. This earthquake has so devastated Jerusalem. Send me money. Send me carpenters. Send me workmen. Send me architects. We shall rebuild the great temple of Solomon. And the Christians, the Baptists, the Pentecostals will say, amen, brother. Amen, Messiah. He has come. And they'll be deceived. And then he will tell the people, the Jews and I are one. We are God. You Gentiles, bow down and serve the Jews, of which I am one. I was recently reading the book, Demystifying the Mystical, Understanding the Language and Concepts of Hasidicism and Jewish Mysticism, written by a rabbi, Haim Dalkin. On page 77, he has something interesting. He says that the soul of a Jew and the soul of a Gentile are totally different. The Gentile, you see, is obviously, I mean, even the Talmud says, is an animal. He's inferior. There are certain things he can do, but he can't transform himself into godhood like Jews can. The Jews are a superior race. And according to the good rabbi, Haim Dalfin, D-A-L-F-I-N, this is published, by the way, by Aronson Books, he says, unlike the Gentile who is created by God, a Jew is not a creation of God, but instead is rather a part of God. He is God. There we get to the temple. You see, the Jew is part of the temple of God. He is God. Therefore, a Jew is able to go beyond the boundaries imposed by nature. Oh, yes, they're not part of nature. They're part of Godhood. The reason is, he says, a Jew is not a creation of God. He is godliness. Didn't Paul say in 2 Thessalonians they will believe the lie, the strong delusion? Well, there it is. Then I was reading the Jewish Book News, May 9th, 1996. As the rabbis taught, studies in the Talmud. Oh, yes, you've got to study the Talmud. Woo! He says, first of all, Joseph Dan, the Gershom Scholem Professor of Kabbalah at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in Israel. He's a big, famous, muckety-muck professor among the rabbis and the Jews there in Jerusalem at Hebrew University. He says, first of all, that evil is also God. God is partly evil and partly good. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he says. So, therefore, the enemies of God are divine. The enemies of God are divine. Now, he says, you know, but divinity, God, is not complete. God cannot be complete without the Jews. He says, the task of the Jewish people is to correct the incompleteness of divinity itself. Of course, add the Jews in. You can't have a God without Jews being part of God. They are God. They're godliness. Interesting, isn't it? They're the very temple of God. They are the bride of Jehovah. The Bible says that all who belong to Jesus are the bride of Christ. But the devil has a bride too, the whore of Babylon. And the Babylonian Talmud is the holy book of the Jews. And the Jews claim to be God, and they're building their temple physically as a symbol of their godhood. The Jews teach in their Talmud, in their Kabbalah, that they, as a people, as a tribe, are collectively, get that, collectively God. Now, on the other hand, Christianity, of which I'm a Christian, teaches that you and I are living stones, chosen by God, perfectly framed together. And as far as being able to worship in a temple, you see, Jesus is invisible. Jesus is spirit. And we who worship him must worship him in spirit. We can't be a doubting Thomas and say, I want to see the rebuilt temple. Jesus told the woman at Jacob's well, this is John chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Don't try to go to some temple in Jerusalem. He won't be there. The Jews were so stuck on the temple, they would even swear by it. They would take their oath by swearing on the temple. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Woe unto ye! Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. They would swear by the gold of the temple, or the temple. Jesus said, you are fools and blind, in Matthew. Remember, the devil brought Jesus to the temple, to the very pinnacle of the temple. That was the temptation of Christ. And he set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Oh, Jesus knows about the temple. In fact, it says in the Bible in the New Testament, and when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove the money changers out of the temple. And he poured out the chargers' money and overthrew the tables. Jesus knows about the temple. He threw the dirty, filthy money changers right out of there, drove them out with a whip. And he told the Jews, Matthew 12, verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than the temple. The temple is nothing compared to Jesus. Don't swear on anything, and certainly not the temple. Wow. And Jesus said, because they believed in these horrible things, would even worship this building and think it's a holy building and yet not do the commandments of God. God said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, this is Matthew 24, verse 2. There shall not be left here in this temple one stone upon another. And so it was. And God today says of Jerusalem, where he was crucified, that it is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. That's what God knows Jerusalem. Build a temple there to the devil, ye deceived Christians, and you're building up Sodom and Egypt. Read Revelation 11:8. And there's a king over this Sodom and Egypt. And there's a king over this temple that is to be built. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue, Apollyon. Even Jesus gave Judas to recognize what the temple was. Verse 5 of chapter 27 of Matthew. Judas, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood. Verse 5 says, and he cast down the pieces, that is the 30 pieces of silver, in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. My friends, the temple to be built, the great mystery is it is the temple of Satan. But there is a temple. There is one greater than the temple, who himself will take all of his people and incorporate them into the body. Are you part of the body of Christ? Are you one of those living stones? Would you like to be? Then today, before it is too late, call on the name of Jesus. Don't end up like Judas. 30 pieces of silver, betraying the Lord. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Paul says, and Stephen says, the first martyr in the Bible, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God will not dwell in a temple made with hands. Paul said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God is himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, the living temple of heaven that is heavenly Jerusalem. Are you a citizen of that great city? This is Tex Mars. It's been a great pleasure with you, being with you today, talking about the important subject, the mysteries of the temple. My prayer is that you'll stick with us each and every week. Yes, discover the power of prophecy.